Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
And real quick, a shout out to those of our friends and family that are traveling today and some that are quarantined, self-quarantined, or your job's making you quarantine. We love you. We miss you. And we can't wait till you get right back here at Living Way. And so just so know that just because you're not in the room, we haven't forgot about you. We love you, and you are the heart and soul of Living Way. Luke chapter 2, verse 16, and they is the shepherds, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Have you ever noticed when casual Christians or other religious people quote the scripture, they never quote the last sentence? They talk about Jesus being pointing to the truth, and he was life and great teacher, but they leave out that no one comes to the Father except through me. Can I just start off, before you're even seated, to just declare this for everyone watching at home and in this room? There is no way to the Father except Jesus Christ. I don't care what Oprah tells you. I don't care what Tom Cruise tells you. I don't care what any other religion says, because remember this, every other religion, their leaders are in the grave. Their leaders that promise things. Buddha, as much as he talked peace, at the end of his life said, I still haven't found it, and I'm looking for it. Jesus didn't have to find peace because he said, I am the Prince of Peace. Wherever I am, there is peace. So I want to encourage you, if you're in a Bible-believing church today, which you are, that means that you know that there is only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way at the end of our life to get to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus, you ought to give God a big praise right now. Praise God. You may be seated. I want to preach on a way in a manger. Not a way, like the song says, but a way in the manger. It would be better, but I was doing the play on words for the title. It would be better for it to say the way in a manger. But when Jesus came to us, and can I just say the sound? It was great on Wednesday. It is really good right now. And I don't know if you can hear how good it is, but this guy up here can hear how good it is, and it helps me save my voice so that I can keep preaching like I want to. So whoever, I can't see because of these lights, and we're going to start working on this tomorrow, all these lighting issues. But whoever's back there, thank you very much for what you're doing. It sounds really, really good. Little did we know, little did the world know, that in Bethlehem that night 2,000 years ago, that the baby that was born in a manger, that was not heralded on the front page news, that was not, no gender reveal parties, none of that going on, that there was a little baby that was born in a manger that literally would change the world. I love how God does big things in small ways. Sometimes the biggest blessings in our lives start as the smallest thing. And so that's why we can declare the word of God that says, do not despise small beginnings. So I don't know who I'm talking to today, but what looks small in December of 2020, give it some time. Keep watering it with the word, praise God. Keep fertilizing it with faith. Keep declaring the word over that thing. I don't care if it's a business. I declare that over the next 12 months, that business is going to grow up. It might be small now. You might be the only employee that you have. But can I tell you, get ready. God's going to do something in it. Can I tell you, there's just little baby steps that can happen in your marriage, in your relationships. Don't despise small beginnings. I'm really big on celebrating small victories. Every victory is a victory. There is no small victories. If you are one day sober, I applaud you. You've got one day under your belt and forever to go. If you, listen, if you have the smallest victory of 2020 today, you ought to celebrate the mess out of that victory. Because the small things can have a big impact once they grow up. The world then, when Jesus shows up, it's just like it is now. They were looking for a way. And when you look at the news today and you look at Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden, they're just shaking their head. They don't know what to do. They're grasping at straws in many cases. You go from the White House to our state house to the schoolhouse to the church house in many regards. Everybody is looking for a better way. The way that we're going now, things need to change. And so the world then is the same as the world now, where there are people that are tired of doing it this way and are looking for something new. Can I encourage you that the best thing that can happen for America is that Jesus would be birthed yet again? But this time when he is birthed, he is not a baby that we have to wait on for 30 years until his ministry starts. But I'm grateful that when we say yes to Jesus, that we don't say yes to 8-pound, 4-ounce Jesus. We say yes to the resurrected Jesus. We say yes to King Jesus. We say yes to Prince of Peace Jesus. We say yes to the one who's on his shoulders, the government shall stand and it will never end. Can I encourage you that when you say yes to Jesus, you say yes to the miracle worker, the healer, the deliverer, the financier, the lawyer, the teacher, the rabbi, the savior, the creator, the God of the universe. When you say yes to Jesus, that way comes into your life. So the story of Jesus, and this is a different way that we're going to look at a way in the manger. The story of Jesus' birth introduces us to many people. And if you have the nativity scene in your house, every nativity scene has the manger and a little baby and Mary and Joseph. And usually for symmetry's sake or symmetrical sake, we have three wise men and we have three shepherds. And then you've got the cow and the donkey and the chickens. And so there's some players in this story that I want to talk about that Jesus provided a way or an opportunity for their life to change, to upgrade, to level up in many different respects. And so the first one I want to talk to is, before they ever get to the inn, Mary and Joseph are on their way to pay taxes. How many of you know it's a long trip when you're on your way to pay taxes, you got a wife that's 9 months pregnant, and there's no Ubers, and she's riding on a donkey? That doesn't sound like a great vacation. First of all, there's the whole tax thing. So they're loaded down giving money that they don't think that they should have to give, but they have to give anyway. Otherwise, they're going to be thrown in jail. And so there's the whole tax thing hanging on. And it just so happens that the tax thing falls on the same week that Mary is supposed to give birth. But can I encourage you that sometimes what we look at as a negative is God will use that to position us where we need to be so that when we get to where he's called us to be, we can produce what he's called us to produce. Because remember in the Old Testament, the city was named that it will be Bethlehem. And so God had to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. And so it was the whole tax thing that you had to go back to your country of origin to pay your taxes. And so the thing that Joseph was cussing all along the way, and I paraphrase, he probably wasn't cussing. He was probably muttering because he was walking and she was riding. I know I would be muttering. And so he is muttering and he is bemoaning the fact that he is having to pay taxes. But what was really happening is God says, Joseph, I am positioning you and I'm positioning Mary to the place that you need to be so that prophecy is fulfilled, so that when she gives birth in the right place at the right time. Can I encourage you? 2020 is not how we had planned it to be. It looked a lot different looking back than we thought it would this time last year looking forward. But can I tell you that if you are hearing what the Spirit is saying, that God has used a lot of these things. He didn't didn't send COVID, but if it shows up, he's going to use it. He's used COVID to get us to a place where we need to be at a time when we need to be there, because what we're carrying when we birth it is going to change the world. And so I don't look at the negatives as negatives. I say, God, all things work together for my good. If you want me to pay taxes, then give me the money to pay taxes. Show me where I'm supposed to be so I can get to the right place at the right time. Somebody say right place, right time. So they show up in Bethlehem, and evidently there was a lot of people who had left Bethlehem because they had all come back to pay their taxes in their country of origin, and they must have shown up in the middle of the night, late in the night, because there's no vacancy signs on all of the motels and all of the hotels, and TripAdvisor had let them down, and their reservation is not there. It's not confirmed. And so they go to one inn and they knock on the door, and the innkeeper opens the door. And let me tell you something. I don't know this innkeeper, but I hope that he met Jesus before he died. Because for him to turn down a 9-month pregnant woman that is having contractions, that's a different kind of dude. But then when you got the 9-month pregnant woman having contractions who is carrying the Savior of the world, that's a really different dude. And he looked at Joseph, who I'm sure Joseph said, my wife's water has broke. We need a room. We need a spot. Is there room in the inn? And the innkeeper looked at Joseph, and he looked at Mary, and he looked at her belly, and he looked back at Joseph, and he said, I'm sorry, we do not have room in the inn. What he's really saying as we look at the way, the innkeeper was really saying is I don't see any way that you can stay here. We all know faithless, negative Nellies that respond to difficult situations with, I just don't see any way. How many of you have ever heard that phrase uttered by somebody, or you see it on social media, that when all hell breaks loose or something that is not perfect happens in somebody's life, and maybe you even try to encourage them with the word of God or with a word of encouragement or prayer, and they just say, I don't see any way. I don't see any way how I'm going to be able to pay my rent come the first. I don't see how any way I'm ever going to find Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. I don't see any way. And because the innkeeper didn't see any way, he missed out on the greatest opportunity of his life. Check this out. Because he didn't provide a way and see a way for Jesus to be born in his inn, we don't know his name. We don't know the name of his hotel. We don't know any information. All we know about this man was that he said, no. I want heaven to know me for my yes. I want heaven to know you for your yes. That when Jesus stood and knocked on the door of your heart, you didn't say, I don't see any way and I don't have any room. If you're like me, I would make some room. I would kick out somebody. Listen, at the very least, he should have said, hey, you can have my room and I'll sleep in the lobby, or I'll sleep back behind the front counter. Can I encourage us in 2020 and in 2021, do everything we can that when Jesus presents an opportunity, we open ourselves up and we don't say, I don't see a way. We say, I will make a way. I will make a way for you to be born on my job. I will make a way for you to be born into my family in a greater way. And if there is not a way, I will create a way. I will make space for Jesus. The I don't see a way will rob you of opportunity. Just think this. If he had made a way, believers from all over the world would be taking tours of his inn. We would know his name. We would know the name of the inn. It would be one of the biggest tourist attractions in the world. And this man and his family would be known by generations, and they would be multimillionaires, because everybody goes to the tomb where Jesus was laid, and they would have gone to the inn where Jesus was born. But because he said no, he missed out on a lot. Every time we say yes, we open ourselves up to more of God. Every time Jesus shows up and says, I want to do this, and we say yes, it doesn't matter. We open ourselves up to God. Vision sees a way. Faith makes a way. The innkeeper had no forward vision. The innkeeper had no faith because he simply said, I don't have room. I don't see any way that you're going to be able to stay here. Next on the list are the shepherds. The shepherds were looking for a better way. I feel like there's a lot of people in this church and watching online that 2020 has given way and given birth to those thoughts that there's got to be a better way to live. I'm through living in fear. I'm through living worrying and doubting. I'm through with all of that. There's got to be a better way. And I'm glad that you feel that way because I'm here to tell you there is a better way, and that better way is Jesus. The phrase, I'm sorry, when we hear those that are searching, they use this phrase that says there has to be a better way. We use that phrase when what we've been doing is not working. And I believe that there's a lot of frustrated believers. I know there's a lot of frustrated heathens, but I believe there's a lot of frustrated believers as we close out December 2020 that we've been doing things one way and we're saying there's got to be a better way because what I'm doing is not working like it should work. What I'm accomplishing is not having the effect that I thought it would accomplish. Remember, these shepherds had come from generations of Jewish men and women. And here they stand at the brink, at the threshold of Jesus showing up onto the scene on the planet called Earth. And Jesus is about to make his entry into our world. But for 400 years, God had not spoken. It's called the silent years. It's where Malachi ends in the Old Testament and Matthew begins in the New Testament. There was 400 years that God did not speak. And it was these shepherds who were saying, I know what my mama told me, and I know what my grandmother told me. I remember the stories that my great-grandfather told me about Jehovah God and about all of the things in the Red Sea and possessing the land, and all of that sounds great, but there's got to be a better way. It's been a long time since we've heard this Jehovah talk, and it's been a long time since we've seen his hand do the miracles that we hear about. I'm needing a better way. And so when Jesus shows up, angels show up in the fields where they're keeping their flocks, and they begin to herald his arrival. And so the shepherds grab their staffs and they begin to come to Bethlehem because they're looking for a better way. Can I tell you that I've been saved walking with Jesus for 22 years now? I've been at Living Way Church all of my life, but every Sunday, every Wednesday, and every Saturday, you know what keeps me showing up? Because there has to be a better way. I go out into this world, and this world has gone crazy. I fill up my gas tank, and I hear people talking crazy. I stand in line at HEB, and I hear people fighting about mask or no mask, vaccine or no vaccine, and I'm telling you, when I get around a little bit of that, I know that there's a better way. It's why I show up to church every time I can. It's why I open my Bible every time I can. It's why I'm filled with the Holy Ghost to keep me in my right mind, in the right spirit. I found that better way, and I want to introduce you to that better way. You shouldn't be a struggling Christian. You shouldn't be a believer living in lack. There is a better way. I know you talk about what your mama's mama told you. And I know your auntie and uncle used to pastor such and such church, but I've got one question. Why aren't you as blessed as they are? Why aren't you as fired up as they were? There is a better way, and Living Way is about that better way. His name is Jesus. I don't want to speed up, but the wise men came. They came to bring gifts. But the shepherds came. Because for 400 years, they've been waiting on things to change. I tell you, church, this is a Jesus message all the way. But can I tell you, if you're waiting for things to change, they'll never change. There's only one thing that can change your life. And it's not things. And it's not an event. It's a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. And until you have Jesus Christ on the front of your mind every day. And until you start talking to him more than just Thanksgiving around the table and Sunday morning at church. And until you start worshiping him 7 days a week and seven times a day. And until you start giving and serving in kingdom. Understand this, things are never going to change. But what I found is when I found the better way named Jesus, everything changed in my life. And the more I concentrate on him, the more he starts changing my situation. Because again, I'm not looking for peace. I found peace in Jesus. I found joy in Jesus. And so when I found the person and pulled him to where I am, in him I live, move, and have my being. So everything connected to me, everything around my life changed. For 400 years, he was silent. And the first words he speaks is a baby's cry, piercing the cold, crisp air in Bethlehem. And I don't know what they thought they were going to find, but they found this baby swaddled in these clothes. And after 400 years, I can just imagine those shepherds standing there as they praised God with the angels with tears running down their face. And they said, finally, we're going to quit talking about what God did. And we're going to start looking forward to what God is doing and is about to do. Because those same shepherds would still be alive 30 years later when he would turn water to wine. Those same shepherds heard the story. Hey, you remember the little baby that we praised God for his birth? Did you just hear he raised a dead man from the grave? And could it be that 33 years later that they were standing there at the foot of the cross? They were standing there in Jerusalem. Come on. When Peter and John came stumbling out of the upper room, can I tell you, when Jesus showed up, a better way showed up. Jesus changes everything. Then there's the wise men. The wise men were not looking for a better way. The wise men did not have to make room in the inn. The wise men were looking for a different way. There's a phrase amongst pop culture right now that says, in reference to certain songs, certain movies, certain feelings, that hit different. Meaning, there's 10 songs on that album, that song number 2, that thing hit different. It got me all up in my feel-goods. Come on now. Got me all emotional. Their song, listen, I love this praise team, but there's like 2 or 3 songs that when they do it, man, I just know. I know that I'm going to have to. I know why, because they hit a different way. And that is in no way demeaning everything else, but there's something special about that one. And can I tell you that these were some of the most educated men of their time? They had stood looking up at the stars. Oh, and this is going to preach good for somebody. And I love that God spoke to astronomers and astrologists through the stars. That he didn't try to teach them and reach them in a different way. He said, I'm going to come at you down the pike that you know. I'm going to come down the thing that you're comfortable with. That's why I think Living Way has to become all things to all men, because we're going to reach everybody in a different way. And so if they're on the streets, we'll go to the streets. We'll make sure that whatever they're doing, that we come at them a way that says, hey, I'm going to meet you where you're at. I'm going to give you Jesus where you're at. And when you get Jesus like we got Jesus, it's going to hit a different way. Different way. These men had been looking up at the stars. And I don't know if the Holy Spirit moved them, talked to them. But one of them said, hey, there's a star in the east. And I've looked at this sky all of my life. And I've never seen that star. He went and got a friend. Come on now, it's evangelism now. He went and got a friend and he said, hey, Pedro. I'm sure that was one of their names. Said, look up. You see that star? Am I seeing things? I've never seen that star before. That's a different star. And when they saw the difference, I love this, because the Bible doesn't tell us exactly what happened. When they saw the star, they began to get their friends, and they said, there's something different about that star because that star is not standing still. That star is moving, y'all. And it's moving. You say, why was it moving? Because that donkey was moving. Everywhere Mary was, that star followed Mary, not because of Mary, but because of what she carries. Can I tell you something? That you've got an anointing that hovers over your life, not because of us, but because of what we're carrying. They said, that star doesn't stand. And this was before, come on, this was before American Airlines and Delta. They knew it wasn't nothing moving. It wasn't a shooting star because, man, it just moved ever so slightly every night. He said, I want you to saddle up the camels. Let's get moving. Let's pursue this star. Let's pursue the different thing that we're seeing. That's why I love when God does things a different way. Because when God does things a different way, more eyes are drawn to him. When it's not the same old, same old, same old. And I love some of the old ways, but introducing new ways alongside of the old ways, we're going to get some of those daydreamers that have been looking into the sky and looking into the stars. Can I tell you that there is a different thing that God is going to do in your life and in 2021, and we've got to be able to get on the camels and say, God, where you go, I'm going to go. If you want to do it this way, then I'm going to do it this way. They stop and they talk to King Herod. I don't want to get bogged down in the King Herod part of the story, but King Herod lies to them when he finds out that they're looking for somebody and looking for a new king. And he says, when you find out where this king is, please come back and tell me so that I can worship him too. And so the wise men left and they were checked. I don't know how they were checked, but the Holy Spirit said, don't you ever come back here again. 2 years after Jesus is born, they show up, and I know it messes with the nativity scene, but they show up when Jesus is a toddler, and they present gifts to him. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream, they did not return to Herod. They departed to their country another, or a translation says this, a different way. They followed what they knew. Jesus met them. And when they found Jesus, worshiped him, and presented him gifts, they said, this one hits different. We've seen other kings, but they didn't have the impact that this baby does. 2 years old, and they knew something's different about this one. Can I encourage you that there's something different about the season of our nation, the season of our world, the season of our church, and the season of your family? Things are happening in a different way. But I'm here to tell you, wise men, they left Jesus and they said, that one hit different, and we are different because we've been in his presence. Can I encourage you as we move into 2021, a way in the manger? There is a way in the manger. There's a better way in the manger for the shepherds. There is a different way for the wise men. And I want to encourage you, different is not always bad. Some of us are tied. I remember growing up, and my grandpa would listen to what he called country music. I didn't think it was country music. He didn't think George Strait was country music. He said, oh, that's not country. I'm like, George Strait's not country? And I'd listen to his, and he'd say, oh, this is country. Texas swing music and all that. And I tried to play a little country music for Tyler. And I let him listen to the good ones, George Strait, Clint Black, Alan Jackson, Randy Travis. Tyler said, that's not country. And he said, this is country. Georgia, Florida line? What? Blasphemy. It's not what we call it. It's just different. And different changes from generation to generation to generation. And I'm here to tell you that God's doing a different thing. And I want to encourage you to get on the different train. That God, however you want to do it, we're going to give you free ways to do it. We're going to let you do whatever the Holy Ghost, as long as the Holy Ghost is in it, as long as the word is preached, as long as worship is there, I know you're there and I'm along for the ride, and whatever you need me to do, I'm going to do it, in even if it is a different way. And the last one for today, we'll jump back into this next week most likely. Mary and Joseph, they weren't looking for a different way. They weren't looking for a better way. They were looking for a new way, this new thing. Mary's 16 years old. She's a virgin. She's pregnant. She's had to explain that to her mom and dad, had to explain that to Joseph, her fiancé. Joseph does not get near as much credit as he does, as he should. Because if that were to happen now, they'd be on Maury Povich. Joseph, you are not the father. And then Joseph would run down that alley. But they're excited about the new way. 16 years old, we don't know how old Joseph was. They're excited about the new way. Hebrews 10, verse 19 and 20 is where we get the name for our church here. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Mary's carrying. And I try to wrap my mind around this. And as a man, I can't even wrap my mind around birth. Some of you ladies will do it 5, 6, 7 times. After being around Mandy the first time, I'm like, we going to go round 2, round 3? What? She's like, we got second round. That's it. We get what we get. Somebody say amen. But here Mary is carrying the Savior of the world. When Gabriel shows up to her and says, hey, the Holy Spirit has overshadowed you, and begins to lay out the plan for what she's carrying, it changes her. Because up until that point, she said, there's millions of babies that have been born, but nothing has been born like what I'm about to birth. And for 9 months, don't you know she was careful going up and down the steps? She was careful what she put into her body. Come on now. She was careful who she let around her, and so that's why she spent a lot of time with Elizabeth, because Elizabeth was pregnant, and they made each other's babies jump. She said, wow, out of all that I've been through, been put on the front page of the Inquirer, people have been running my name through the mud, and people have been talking about Joseph, but I know that God has put something in me. And I know that at the end of this 9 months that something new is about to be birthed into this world. And I will gladly go through all of the mess, all of the uncomfortable, all of the stretching that I've got to go through to birth this thing. Why? Because there is a way that is coming to a manger in Bethlehem that is not just going to change my life, that is not just going to make me a mother and Joseph a father, but what I'm carrying is world changing. It is culture shifting. I am carrying the Son of God. In 33 years, he's going to die on a cross. What I'm carrying is not ordinary. It is extraordinary. What I'm carrying is not natural. It is supernatural. Can I encourage somebody? When God gets in you and on you, when the Holy Ghost starts doing what it's supposed to do, what you carry is not ordinary. What you carry is not what everybody else carries. You have been hovered over by the Spirit. There is something that God is getting ready to bring forth. And I don't, for somebody, it's not going to be in 2021. It's going to be in the next 19 days that you've been carrying it all year. And the labor pains have been great, and you've been going through all of this mess, but what's about to come out of your life, you're going to look back and say it was worth it because of the new thing that God is doing in me. I'm talking to somebody whose relationships are in shambles. God's doing a new thing. There's new people coming in. I'm talking to those of you that might have less money going out of this year than you had coming in. God's doing a new thing, and God's getting ready to bless you more than you've ever been blessed. I'm talking about somebody that's been carrying something in their physical body. God's getting ready to do a new thing, and healing is going to come find you. Stand on your feet. Remember this, God is not a way finder. God is a way maker. I don't believe there's many people, if any, in this room today that would be like the innkeeper and you would say, I don't see a way. Remember, vision sees a way, faith makes a way. I know that there's some shepherds that are saying there's got to be a better way. And I jumped over this point, but I'm going to back up real quick to just lay it on you real quick. When they're saying there's got to be a better way, what they're really saying is these priests that keep going into the Holy of Holies and dying, there's got to be a better way. You say, did that happen? There's a reason why they wore bells and had a rope tied around their ankle. Because 1, 2, 3, 400 died. We don't know how many. But I'm so tired of having to go through a man to get to God. There's got to be a better way. Quit looking to men for fulfillment that only God can provide through Jesus Christ. There's got to be a better way. And there's somebody in this room like the wise men. God's met you where you are. And there's a different way. Calendar's getting ready to turn here in a few days. You will repeat this year if you don't do anything different. Faith has to grow. Hope has to grow. The input of the word has to grow. Worship life has to grow. Prayer life has to grow. You want to see something different. You can't just look through your telescope. Come on now. Come on, wise man. You got to saddle up the camel. And you got to start pursuing God. And then I believe there's some Marys and Joseph that every day you wake up and that thing's kicking. Things moving on the inside of you. And you've got dreams that you haven't shared with anybody. You got vision that God's given you. And the reason nobody knows is because you know, like Mary, they're going to make fun of you. They're going to say, no, that can't happen. But I believe in this place today, this is a house of faith. You tell us you're pregnant, we become the midwife. We tell you what to do to bring that baby forth. We make sure that you have an atmosphere to birth that thing. As Vivi's broken the ice for everybody, I need everybody in this room to close their eyes. I need you to lift your hands to heaven. I need you to begin to pray, and I want you to ask God, God, is this word something that I need to act on right now? I don't believe God's going to be vague. I think a lot of you right now are hearing, yes, 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 move, move, move. And if God is telling you yes and move, and God's telling you there's a better way, a different way, a new way, I need you to get out of your seat. I need you to join those that are already in this altar today, and I need you to begin to say, hey, God, I'm ready. I'm ready for you to do a better thing, a different thing, a new thing. However you want to do it, I want to be involved in it. I know that what I'm carrying, God, is life-changing. It's not just going to change my life, but everything that comes into contact with it will be changed, will be transformed. I am carrying something that is going to literally shift the culture of my family. Come on, somebody. I'm carrying something that is literally going to change the life of my children. There it is again, my children's children. It's been on my heart the last month. My children's children. Bishop and Pastor Becky, they get to see right now their children's children serving God. I can't wait to see my children's children serving God. So what I'm carrying and what you're carrying is going to be worth it. But if you're looking for a better way, his name is Jesus. If you're looking for a different way and trying something new, Jesus is the thing that you need to set your focus on right now. If you're in this altar, lift both hands.